May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Are you hungry from our gospel lesson today? So what did you eat for breakfast? I'll tell you what I ate. Raisin bran and coffee with everything in it. And a piece of Dave's bread. If you see a theme in there, I've reached an age where fiber is very important. Are you still hungry? Jesus addresses being hungry in our gospel today. And he says that he can relieve our hunger forever. Of course, Jesus is not talking about physical hunger. But instead, he's talking about a hunger that every human being on the face of this earth has within them. A deep, abiding, gnawing hunger. Do you know the name Jackson Pollock? Some of you do, okay? If you're into modern art, you probably do know his work. He became famous for his random art pieces, all right, done purely by chance. If you look at his paintings, maybe this is just more my opinion, you know, you think, my three-year-old could do better than this, right? I mean, maybe something spilled on a canvas and he said, this is good enough. Is Pollock's work that of a highly skilled artist? He created some of his pieces by rigging paint cans up on a scaffold and tipping them onto a fresh canvas. And the painting was done. Are the paintings a joke? No. No. Actually, his art was meant to make a statement. His random art was without purpose, and it was meaningless. This was his view of the world and of life. It is without purpose, and it is meaningless. Pretty depressing, wouldn't you say? My oldest sister, Susan, and I, years ago, were in Washington, D.C., and we wandered into the art museum there and into the rooms that had the modern art. I never forget one painting, if you call it that. It was a completely blank canvas with shades of white. Shades of white. My sister read the descriptions of the paintings in that room and noted that a great many of the artists committed suicide. A meaningless life, a meaningless death. Theologian Paul Tillich has written that three fears have gripped mankind. Before the Christian era, it was the fear of death. During the Middle Ages, it was the fear of guilt. In the modern period, it's the fear of meaninglessness. I think we have all those fears today, and even more. The Bible tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. Put another way, God has given every human being a hunger, a hunger. The problem is, we think we can satisfy that hunger and keep it at bay and suppressed. The deep need for satisfaction. We fret, we worry, we strive, we fight to see this deepest and most essential need met. There's a lot of coveting going on. You see your neighbor's 5,000 square foot house. You see the pool, the manicured lawn. You see the SUVs, numerous, right? You see that and you say, I think I want that. I want that. It will make me satisfied. You see, your boss, he has all the perks. She has all the perks. He has the great salary. She has the great salary. I want his salary. I want her salary. I want those perks. I'd be satisfied. This is what would make me happy. I want these things. Like the commercial says, I want more. I want more. How much of a nest egg would make us safe and secure and satisfied? 1 million? No. 2 million? 10 million? 50 million? A lot of people are dissatisfied and actually hate their jobs. Theologian Drew Carey once said, "You hate your job? There's a support group for that. It's called Everybody, and they meet at a bar." Hey, why did these people chase after Jesus? They chased after him because he fed the 5,000, really more like 15,000, you know, just counted the men, right? Because he gave them bread and fish. And they thought food and material things would satisfy their hunger, give them peace. That's why they chased after him. When I think of the health and wealth, the prosperity ministries, and churches that abound, I think they're largely offering the very same thing. Wealth will give you peace. Wealth will give you satisfaction. Claim it. Claim it. And usually the minister's up there saying, "Have what I have." You know? These gurus of prosperity are misleading people, actually causing them to miss what is truly needful, what is essential to satisfy our God-instilled hunger. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." You take away food and water, sustenance, and you whittle away, right? You can't last long. Jesus is saying, "I am essential. You don't have me and my word, you will whittle away and finally have eternal death." Max Lucado has an interesting take on Jesus calling himself the bread of life. I really like this. He said, "The grain to bread process is a demanding one. The seed must be planted before it can grow, and when the grain is ripe, it must be cut down and ground into flour. Before it become bread, it must pass through the oven. Bread is the end result of planting, harvesting, and heating." Jesus endured the identical process, writes Lucado. He was born in this world. He was cut down, bruised, and beaten on the threshing floor of Calvary. He passed through the fire of God's wrath for our sake. He suffered because of our sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and made alive to bring us to God. And I would add, to satisfy us. Jesus is the only thing that fits that God void within us. Belief in Jesus is the only way, and I can't emphasize this too much. He is the only way that we can have peace with God, and therefore true satisfaction. Oh, we can suppress, we can drown it out, we can stuff ourselves with things to give us an artificial and temporary peace and happiness. You hear people that have made it all say how fulfilled they are in life, how happy they are. The Bible says that Moses endured Egypt and rejected that sin that is only temporary and only gives pleasure for a while. No, we can self-medicate, but we will not rid ourselves of that deep, gnawing hunger. Believe in Jesus. Believe in his love. Believe in his sacrifice for you. Believe what he offers you, the peace, the joy, the satisfaction that nothing compares to. And then you will know that he truly is the bread of life. I want you to understand yourself. I want to understand myself. Okay? The relationship that you have with God and your true need in this life. So I'm thinking that everybody needs to come to a time when you shut out all the noise, all of the advertisements in the world that is saying you need this, you have this, you'll be happy if you have this. Shut it all out and consider the words of God. And then hear your own soul growling. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. Biblical Hebrew is very concrete. In other words, there's no abstractions. For instance, the word justice. There's no word exactly for justice in Hebrew. What it describes is weights, measures that are accurate and honest. That's justice in the Bible. Just so with the word soul. Soul is often translated as mouth, stomach, or throat. Isn't that interesting? Our soul is our mouth, our throat, our stomach. The Bible talks about the soul being hungry and thirsty or hollow or empty or not satisfied. Our souls crave. Please stay with me now. You need Jesus. He's the bread which satisfied. You need his word. You need to pray to him. You need to worship him. You need his body and blood. The correct word is need. He is essential that you might have his salvation and his peace in your life. Please don't be content with the echoes of a hollow life, a soul unfed. Maybe Jesus is asking you today, have you been away too long? Are you famished? Has your soul shriveled? You know, a popular diet plan, I'm talking about food now, is really to fast, you know, stop eating for a while. And you know what happens? I've tried it for very short times. Not successfully, as you can see, but you stop being hungry. You stop being hungry. Well, the comparison is to people who get away from the worship of God, and their soul actually shrivels. It actually contracts. And they don't feel they need it. They don't feel they need the Lord's Supper or other things that God has for them. Are you in danger of becoming a lost soul? A shriveled soul? Jesus was asked, what do you do to do the work that God requires? And he answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he sent. A famous writer, Evelyn Underhill, said that we spend most of our lives conjugating three verbs, to want, to have, and to do. Jesus would say the most important one is to believe. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is inviting you to believe in him. He's inviting you to be fed. That's what he's actually doing. Salvation, true satisfaction, peace is to be found in Jesus. Don't settle for the substitutes. They don't last. What can and should come out of us, we who are fed? An overwhelming gratitude. We know we have been freely given what is essential, and we're grateful. We're grateful. Now, you can choose to be grateful. Yes, you who are in Christ can choose to be grateful, or you can choose not to be grateful. You can be, like our Old Testament lesson, a grumbler. I wish I had more. More of what? You can be grateful for the minor blessings. What are the minor blessings? All your material goods. They are minor. And you can be grateful for your major blessings. What are those? Your spiritual blessings. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word of the Lord. Right? It's a choice we who have been fed can make. We can do this. The mark of the Christian is love. That's clear from the scriptures. But you know, I can make a case for it also being grateful, a life of gratitude. And why not? Have we not been given the best, the most? We've already been given more. We have the bread of life, and we have the promise that it brings. Today he feeds you. Let us thank him and praise him. We are his grateful people. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen. Amen. Amen.